Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on this week's episode by Alex Wong.
Nice to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
When was the last time we did the pod?
I can't remember. You just randomly call me in when other guests bail on you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not wrong. I mean, Vivek was busy today, so...
What's Vivek busy with?
He needs an
off day,
Wimbledon's
happening again?
He needs an off day, bro. He's covering everything.
This guy's using tennis as an excuse, man. Every time Bianca plays, he needs 3 days off.
He's holding the microphone and stuff like that. You know, like, it's just... There's a lot of work to be done. So, Alex, you got to fill in here. Okay, so the Raptors have played about a week's worth of basketball now. And I think, you know, obviously 4 games is too little to judge a team on. But for the most part, it's been a really solid start. Like, they could have been 4-0, really, if they just closed out that Celtics game. Obviously, their offense sort of went cold, and execution was a little bit of a difficult thing. But everything so far has been pretty good. So I just really want to get your thoughts on how good are some of these recent developments. So I want you to grade some things in terms of what's happening early in the season. Yes, we might do this on Run It Back later, which we're going to shoot right after this.
Which we're shooting in 1 hour.
But, you know, so.
Are we doing like an Asian parent expectation scale?
Yeah, relax. Save that specific title for Run It Back, the YouTube channel, the YouTube show.
So we're basically workshopping right now on your podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just listen to it twice on his feed, though.
Pretty much. Pascal Siakam, so far, as a number one guy, he's averaging about 27 points per game. He's getting 10-plus rebounds. He's got almost at 4 steals or 4 assists per game. If field goal percentage is around 50%, 3-point percentage is over 40. The free throw percentage is amazing right now. He's only missed one free throw in the season, so he's at about 95%. In terms of a letter grade, what are you giving Pascal to start the year?
A-minus, I think.
Okay, A-minus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who's
the Asian parent now?
Wow. I think
this guy's averaging Kawhi stats, and you're giving me A-minus.
He put up 38-14, and you went on Run It Back, and it was like he should have done more.
Okay, fair. Might both be Asian parents. Who knows?
No, okay. So I know you did a video breakdown. Great video breakdowns that you're doing this year.
I'm a YouTuber now.
On your own YouTube channel, you should check out.
Yes.
You did a breakdown of just the flaw right now with him is the playmaking and the turnovers, right? Mm-hmm. That you've seen early on, and I guess the other thing is the foul trouble that he's been getting into. Obviously, some of the calls, I wouldn't even necessarily agree with that he's gotten in late in games against New Orleans and last night. But some of that is also Pascal needing to realize that he's too important of a player now to be picking up, to be putting himself in those positions, right?
Do you think people are flopping on him intentionally?
Like that DJ
Augustine flop.
Yeah, that was a really bad flop.
That was a flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, once you become like the number one guy, like that's the stuff like – like you can't be the guy that's going out with like five fouls, six fouls, like in the second half. So, but otherwise, that's why I give him the A-, because like everything else has been amazing. It seems like he's expanded his offensive game. Like some of that footage that we saw in the summer is actually translating into the real games.
Yeah.
Like he had that that one off foot jumper, mid-range jumper yesterday late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That we've seen in the footages and like the above the break threes. And it seems like to me it's just like he's like really elite at like when you need a basket.
Yeah.
Like he can create. And, you know, he had that one play. I think they came out of the timeout after Terrence Ross hit a three yesterday to put them up, put the Magic up. And he just like took Jonathan Isaac to the basket, made his spin move, got an and one.
Yeah.
And there's very few players that can do something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all, like, I think everything's trending up for Pascal.
Yeah, A-, I think it's fair. I think it's fair. I mean, it's almost closer to an A. But, again,
you got to leave room for him to, like, improve.
Well, right? Exactly, right? I mean, I think there are some small, subtle things that he can improve on offense as well. Like, I think he can pick his spots a little bit better. It doesn't seem like the post-up for him this year is as much of a guarantee as it was last year. Obviously, it's only been four games, but I think teams are really, really zeroed in on what he does. There's been a couple times, especially in that Celtics game, where it felt like the defense knew exactly where he was going and was sort of trapping him and putting him in bad spots. In terms of the double teams and sort of the failure to sort of handle them, I mean, that's completely normal. It's understandable. Like, no one's going to expect him to just instantly become, I don't even know, like Kawhi Leonard immediately. But, you know, at the same time, like, I think when he looks over the footage and the film, he can sort of figure out, basically, like, if the defense is doubling you, you've already won, right? That means someone's open. You just need to move the ball.
Yeah, Matt Thomas in the corner.
Yeah, and he did find Matt Thomas in the corner against the Bulls. And, you know, some of those things is just, I think one thing right now, he keeps wanting to pass over top the defense, and I think the defenders know that. So they're trying to take that away. I feel like, honestly, if he can mix it up a little bit with, like, a bounce pass once in a while, sort of go under the defense maybe, it'll be a little bit easier. But also, I think it's just, like, recognizing double teams, like, understanding where they're going to come from, yeah, and then kicking it out quickly. Because the rest of the guys are pretty unselfish players that he's playing with. You know what I mean? Like, they're all, except for Norm, but, you know, whatever. Everyone else, you know, can move the ball around. And
The best thing I'll say about Pascal, like, through four games is that I think it's safe to just, like, kind of raise the ceiling of what he can be, right? Like, I think there's so many question marks coming into this season. Like, how is it going to look like?
Yeah.
And even though it's been, like, super early, I just think, like, based on the way he's playing, like, it's safe for us to really expect him to pick up these things.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, the playmaking, the foul trouble, and all that stuff. Like, Pascal, like, we keep going back to, like, oh, Pascal's only played basketball for, like, this long, whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff is like, instinctual, right?
Yeah,
like you have to play enough basketball to know that, like, oh, when the double team comes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
and how many times do you think he's been double in his life?
Yeah, so he's – but – even look at the Boston game, right? Like, he looked terrible in the first half, kind of figured it out, fought through it in the second half. Like, that's what he does, right? It doesn't take him, like, weeks. It takes him, like, quarters.
Yeah, for
sure. So, I'm super excited to see where this goes. And, like, I'm sure we'll talk about it later on in the season. But, man, like, we got to start bumping up. Like, instead of all NBA third team, like, we might got to move that up a little bit.
Wow, second team. Well, I mean, that's funny you mentioned that, because if you look at the competition this season, it's a little bit weaker than what it normally would be. Mm-hmm. Right. Obviously, you got Giannis, you got Kawhi, you got LeBron. Those are three of the six forward spots. However, past that, last year, it was Paul George. Paul George hasn't even played yet this year. He's probably going to miss about a month, which is actually good. I think the Raptors might miss Paul George both times, or at least on the first game when the Raptors play the Clippers.
Well, they'll miss Kawhi on the second one because he's going to load manage and come to Toronto. So.
No, they haven't load managed them yet, man. They're trying to exhaust themselves for the regular season. That's definitely how you use Kawhi. So Paul George has, you know, been injury riddled so far. If you look at the rest of the guys that made that team last year, Blake Griffin hasn't played yet. And also, I mean, maybe he makes the team again, but maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Pistons also actually right now look a little bit better than they were last year, even though Blake hasn't been in the lineup. So that's a little bit shocking. And then you look at the rest of the guys on that team. I mean, I don't know, man. We're talking about, can Pascal be better than, like, LaMarcus Aldridge? Or can Pascal be better than, let's say, a Luka Doncic type?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, chances are, yeah, he probably will be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Especially when you factor in both ends of the floor. That's the other thing with Pascal. I'm a little bit concerned that he hasn't been as dominant defensively.
Yeah. I think because he's, like, exerting a lot of energy.
Right.
A lot more on the offensive end. But listen, man, it's super exciting. Like, if you want to zoom out and think about what free agents are going to be looking at. And not even just Giannis, man. Like, if you look at just the 2021 free agent class, like, players who are looking to come into a winning situation and play with great players, like, man, Pascal, like, name me a better player than to pair up with than Pascal, right? Obviously, outside of, like, the true, like, A-list guys, like Kawhi and things, but this is, it's great. A weekend, feel great.
All right, great, great. We feel great, but it's an A-.
Yeah. This is all truly some Asian parent shit, man.
All right, so OG Anunoby. He's been also very good to start the season. Obviously not as good as Pascal, but obviously they serve different roles. OG right now on the year, averaging 12 points per game on 54% shooting from the field. He's hitting 1.8 threes per game on 44% shooting from the field. He's averaging 7.3 rebounds, an assist, 1.5 steals, and 2.3 blocks per game. And he's also playing a career-high 34 minutes, which is about 10 more than he's ever played per game. Last year, OG was a bit of a lost man. This year, he seems to be one of the – like, he's a lock to stay in the starting lineup, which I predicted coming into the season, but I did not see sort of the leap that he's made in terms of defensively. The last two games, he's got 6 steals, 6 blocks.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to give him an A.
I think, good.
To expectations, relative to expectations coming into the season. And again, like, 4 games, small sample size, all of that stuff. But, you know, the defensive effort that he's been putting together has been, like – Incredible. And, you know, this guy's playing like Scottie Pippen right now on defense. And, you know, you said it. Like, this is exactly what we wanted OG to be, right?
Right.
Like, I think people are always like, oh, is he going to make the leap? Like, become this, like, really great scorer, like a number two scorer behind Pascal. You know, probably not going to be that, but the Raptors probably don't need him to be that, right?
No.
Not this version of the team and whatever version of the team they're going to build out in the next few years. Like, it's so valuable to have a guy like OG, who's like the primary wing defender, and, you know, if he can shoot like even anywhere close to like 40% from three and provide that type of defense, like, you know, now you have two pieces in the front court that's locked in for the long term. OG and Pascal.
And they have shown pretty good chemistry so far.
Yes.
I feel like Pascal sets up OG for a play once per game.
Yeah, and OG's looked really good with Pascal off the floor too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, again, very early, but...
Really encouraging.
Really encouraging.
Yeah.
Really encouraging.
I'm going to hit you with some 4-game advanced stats samples, all right? So, right now, OG Anunoby,
Hollinger.
Plus minus per 100 possessions, his on-off numbers, he's plus 20.3.
Wow. Patrick Patterson, like.
Patrick... Yeah. Yo, relax. Come on, man. Relax. Well, I think the big thing for OG right now is that you look at where he played last season, he played a lot more power forward.
Yeah.
I just don't really think he's a power forward.
No, I don't think so either.
You know what I mean? Like, he can guard those bigger guys if he needs to on a switch or whatever. But
he can be dominant at the three.
Yeah. Like, if you
dominant.
We were there yesterday at the Orlando game. Yeah. I mean, how many times on the perimeter did he just, like, rip the ball away from, like, Evan Fournier or Al-Farouq Aminu or, like, DJ Augustine? Like, he's so active and persistent on that end. He's so locked in. He's really engaged. And I love that about him because I feel like last year, you know, whether that was because of where he was in the rotation or sort of all the things that happened to him, all the unfortunate things that happened to him off the court, he just didn't look the same. It's not the same level of engagement as he is now. Now he's locked into every single possession. He's making these great plays. I mean, what's really stood up for me for the OG is the blocks, man. Like, he was not really this kind of shot blocker in the past. But this year, he seems to have really improved sort of his timing, his instincts in terms of the shot blocking, and also a willingness as a help defender. And that's great to see because there's not a lot of shot blocking in the starting lineup because Mark's not really a traditional shot blocker. And Pascal, he can block a shot, but he's also he's got new priorities this year. And so you need a guy to sort of tie everything together, and I think OG is that guy.
Yeah, and on the offensive end too, his shot selection, he's been playing Morey ball, right? Like, just layups,
no mid-range shots.
Yeah, no mid-range. And, you know, if he's hitting efficiently from three, that kind of opens up the drives for him. And, like, that's what you want, right? An efficient player on the offensive end and just an absolute monster on defense. Like, man, imagine if he was next to Kawhi right now.
Okay.
It's tough.
We'll talk about that after we do the grades, but that's already making me kind of sad. As an Asian parent, we still have to point out things that he can improve in.
Yeah.
So I think, for me, I think he can sort of make an even bigger emphasis on defensive rebounding.
Okay.
Because that's kind of what the starting lineup needs as well.
Yes, rebounding has definitely been an issue.
Yeah.
Not last
night,
for
the team as a whole. Like, OG already is averaging a career high in terms of his defensive rebounding rate. You know, his traditionally his per 36 numbers, first year as a rookie, 3.4 defensive rebounds per 36 minutes. Last year, 3.7. This year, it's up to 6. So it's already a big jump. But, you know, I want to see him average, like, honestly, close to 8 rebounds per game all season. And I don't really see a reason why he can't.
Yeah. No, honestly, as an Asian parent, I don't have too much complaints right now. Like,
wow.
I love,
so you know, satisfied.
I love young players, too, that, like, put an emphasis on the defensive end, you know?
This is like when you come home and you win Kiwanis. Your parents buying you an Xbox off this.
Yeah. It's like, yo, no Kumon tomorrow.
Oh, God.
No, seriously. No,
Kumon is Asian torture.
I'm super excited about what OG has done so far this season. Like, I don't think you could have asked for more.
Good. All right. So, OG gets an A.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry. Yeah. Relative to expectations. I mean, I thought Kyle might have started the season slowly because he didn't play pretty much at all in training camp. And then in preseason, he only plays that one game against Brooklyn. In that game, he was sort of searching for a shot. The jumper was a little bit erratic. And, you know, by his own admission, he's, you know, not 100%. And even yesterday after the game, where I thought yesterday he was great against the Magic, he really came through in the clutch. Kyle even said, you know, like, I could be better. And, yeah, I mean, that's an encouraging sign because right now Kyle Lowry is averaging 22 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 6.8 assists, a steal per game, shooting 42% from the field, 37% from deep. He's getting to the free throw line again, which is a new thing after sort of dipping
in
that.
He's hit double digits twice, right?
He's hit double digits twice in the first four games, and he didn't do that at all last season.
That's crazy.
So, first off, are you concerned about Kyle Lowry's workload? He's close to leading the league in minutes in terms of average. He's at 39.3 minutes per game. The number's obviously going to come down, but I don't know. What are you seeing from him?
Yeah. So Asian parent grade, I'd also give him an A.
Yep.
But yes, that was the one thing I was going to point out is that everything that Kyle's doing right now is great. Saw the burst of speed. Remember at the end of the first half yesterday when he went coast to coast and got that layup?
Twice.
Yeah. Crazy acrobatic move.
Yeah.
And again, check out Will's video breakdown of
wow.
Kyle and Pascal running the pick and roll over and over again
sure.
late in the
yeah,
game
yeah.
To right. kind of get things going. And yes, I'm super worried about the workload, you know, and just kind of in general with this team. I know Nick's been tinkering with the rotation, you know,
yeah.
giving, you know, guys like Terrence Davis, Matt Thomas, Pat McCaw minutes here and there to kind of get looks, see how they look like with the rest of the roster. The roster has to expand out a bit more
yeah.
for the regular season. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, I think it's clear when the Raptors play their top 7-8 guys, they have a really good team, and they can compete with pretty much anybody in the league.
Yeah.
But it's not sustainable over 82 games.
Yeah,
like they're going to run guys into the ground, and I worry. I worry that, like, you know, if Kyle keeps having to play these extended minutes, the Raptors could easily maybe start, like, 20-5 or something like that, but they're going to fade. So I am super worried about that.
Why do you think Nick is showing such tough love to some of the end of the rotation guys?
You know what? I think, you know, they came off winning a championship, and Nick's trying to set a certain level of expectations.
Okay.
Basically being an Asian parent.
wow.
Because, like, you win a championship, and those are the guys who kind of brought you there.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, he talked about it in training camp, too, about how guys like Stanley and Rondé need to know, like, how we do things around here, right?
Mm-hmm,
the level
mm-hmm.
of effort that we need. So I think a bit of it is Nick showing some tough love, trying to make sure these guys know that you have to earn the minutes. And when you're on the floor, if you're a Matt Thomas, you better be competing your ass off on the defensive end,
mm-hmm.
even if you're, like, making 6 three-pointers in a row, whatever. That's coming.
yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, I think that's it. But, like, man, like, you got to let – like, I think Nick knows this, too. Like, you have to, you know, give – Terrence Davis a little bit more run, even Pat McCaw a little bit more run. Like, throughout the season, like, they just have to be part of the rotation. Because doing this eight-man rotation thing, like, it's fine over, like, a 7-game series,
yeah.
over a 2-month
yeah.
playoff run. But, like, I don't know. Like, I would actually, yeah. Like, even if Kyle's stats come down and he plays less minutes, like, they need to figure something out. Because this is not sustainable. That's, like, my only concern over, like, through the first four games.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to give Nick Nurse a grade, I would feel like it's probably been, like, probably B+.
Sure, yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
I guess we have high expectations of Nick as well, but, I mean, you win a championship, then, you know, expectations go up. But also, at the same time, like, I think he's what he's doing with the rotation is kind of smart in the sense that he's setting a pretty high standard.
Yep.
And he's sort of trying to instill competition within the guys to yep. rise and meet that standard. I think, you know, individually, if you look at the talent of guys like Rondé or Stanley Johnson or Chris Boucher, like, there's guys there that, like, they have the potential to play to a certain level. It's not like necessarily they're intrinsically less talented than some of the guys ahead of them in the rotation, but it's just sort of a mentality thing. Like, the focus in which, you know, when you see Fred VanVleet come into the game and how focused he is on what he's doing, and you see Serge Ibaka and the way he approaches everything, like, it's just different. It's just different when you're another guy that's just sort of coming in, and you really just can't expect to walk into the rotation. So I the only thing I hope what Nick has done is that he's set out clear expectations for the rest of the guys, like, what I need in order for you to make the rotation, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And if you do X, Y, and Z, I'll put you in there. You know what I mean? Because it's like that in any sort of organizational structure, right? You okay, fine. You could be sort of limited by your boss, but then your boss also has to be fair to you and tell you how you can get out of that and expand your horizon. And so I hope there's clear expectations for what Rondé needs to do. I hope there's clear expectations for what Stanley needs to do. Same thing with Boucher, McCaw, Terrence Davis, Matt Thomas, all these guys. But there's something there. And we were talking about this earlier, man. Like, you mentioned it, like, all these guys got, like, one big flaw, so it's a little bit hard to always rely on them, and you can sort of go by situation. Like, I thought yesterday, for example, Nick went to Pat McCaw for 17 minutes at a time where offense wasn't as big of an issue, right? You really just wanted the Raptors race out to this early lead. You want to just maintain that, keep the opponent at, you know, at an arm's distance, and I thought McCaw came in and did that. Defensively, he gave great contributions, especially for a guy coming off the bench. And another time, maybe you need more shooting, like in that Bulls game where, you know, you weren't really hitting anything and offense was stalling in the first half. Matt Thomas comes in, he hits two threes like he does, and all of a sudden, you know, Matt Thomas gets more minutes. So I think it'll just change from game to game. But hopefully, if he lands on like nine guys that he can sort of trust on every night, I think he'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, and I think part of the regular season is just you got to let some of those guys just play through it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're just pulling the plug and just bringing Kyle back in all the time, like, it's not going to work. But I'm with you. Like, I think Nick has a long-term plan on how this is going to play out anyways. And the other thing is, like, not even just last year. Like, for, like, 5 years now, the Raptors have had, like, really deep, competent rosters.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So I think it's fair for Nick to set those expectations because for, like, half a decade now, the Raptors have always been able to roll out, like, five really capable, like, NBA-ready guys, right?
Yeah.
So if some of the newer guys aren't meeting expectations, then they need to catch up.
Yeah, and it's also funny the way Nick treated the rotation last year because guys like Lorenzo Brown will get minutes, and Greg Monroe will get minutes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't that high of a bar last year.
But the regular season was different last year, though.
That's true. That's
in
true.
That you were just the managing yourself to the playoffs, right?
That's true.
Whereas, you know, I mean, obviously everyone's saying the right things about running it back, competing for a championship and all that stuff. You know, I feel like this regular season is a little different. Like, he actually has to play those guys if they want to get to, like, 50 wins or whatever, right?
Yeah. Okay, next guy, Fred VanVleet. He's had, obviously, an incredible first game, cooled off a little bit since then. Right now, Fred is averaging 18 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 6.3 assists on with 1.5 steals per game on 39 minutes per game, but he's only shooting 39% from the field and 41% from deep. The 41% from deep is great, but shooting about 37% on two-point shots is not necessarily that good. What's your grade for Fred so far?
I'm going to give him a B.
A B, okay.
Yeah, I think his highlights are like really good.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's hit so many big shots already. Dropped Markel Fultz yesterday.
That's unfortunate, man.
Wearing N1s, too. You know, a little throwback.
Wow.
But, yeah, like you mentioned, like, the 39%.
Mm-hmm.
There's still times, I think, against Boston, too, is pretty apparent. Like, it's still hard for him to finish at the basket.
Yeah. I thought he was hurt by an ankle injury in that
Boston by game. The ankle injury, too. You know, yeah. I'll definitely give him that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, overall, I think Fred's been pretty steady. And, you know, seems like he's locked down the starting shooting guard job already. So,
do you take exception to it?
No,
I
don't.
Some people like Norm in that spot.
Really? Why though?
But Norm is shooting 30% from the field right now.
Yeah. So, no, I think Fred should be there. I mean, the only argument would be that maybe you want to just balance it out a little bit and have more scoring off the bench.
Sure. That's a legit argument.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But then it's
also Fred
like,
is just straight up better than Norm.
Yeah, Fred's straight up better, and if you put Norm in the starting lineup, then you know you weaken the starting lineup too, right? Like,
but if you put Norm in the starting lineup, you're starting Norm all of a sudden.
Yeah. The problem with starting Norm is Norm would be the starter. I don't know. Like, anything jump out at you with Fred? Like, you know, I don't know, man. Those Rico Hines runs really gave him the swagger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the confidence is great. I think, honestly, he's missed a couple of makeable shots, especially yesterday against the Magic. I thought he had a lot of great looks, and he just missed them. And when you go into practice like that, like, he is automatic. He is automatic. I think he's Raptors' best shooter. And, you know, I think actually, third right now in three-point percentage behind OG and Pascal. But realistically, we know Fred's a better shooter than OG and Pascal. Yeah, I think he's doing all the right things. I think defensively he's contributing. I know some people sort of linked sort of the lack of rebounding to Fred and Kyle. But, I mean, like, bro, if Fred is giving you 5 rebounds a game and Kyle's giving you 5 rebounds per game, you're getting 10 rebounds per game out of your backcourt. That's not bad. That's really not bad. You know what I mean? And I think these guys are boxing out. They're scrapping. They're contributing on defense. I haven't really seen too much of an issue there. I mean, I've been keeping a close eye on how many times per game Fred and Kyle are getting posted up, and so far none of them have been scored on post-ups. You know what I mean? And that's one of the bigger concerns when you have two small guys. Obviously, it's not ideal to start 2 6-foot guys. It's not necessarily ideal to sort of tilt your lineup so heavily towards the starting lineup. But I don't know. I really have no exceptions with Fred. Really, I'm giving him a B+.
Yeah,
close to an A-. Honestly,
I haven't seen.
He's like a 79 right now.
I haven't seen anything on the defensive end that's really jumped out and worried me.
Yeah, exactly.
About Kyle and Fred playing together. And you know what? It helps when you have Pascal, OG, and Mark on the floor with you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's not like Kyle and Fred are bad defenders. Mm-hmm. It's just they are not tall. Like, that's it. But, yeah, no, Fred's been great. I mean, this is probably a more longer-term question, but say he kind of keeps up this production, keeps his starting role for the whole season.
Yeah.
Could you envision him getting maybe like a Malcolm Brogdon type contract this offseason?
20 mil a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he'd be deserving of it, honestly. I really do. Like, he's not a high-end starter, at least not yet. Maybe he won't ever be that way, but like what he contributes right now, I think it's $20 million worth of contributions. Maybe a little bit less. But obviously, whenever you get to free agency and it's an open market, you're going to get paid a little bit more than what you actually deserve. Unless you're on a max guy, then whatever, that's artificially capped. But for the most part, like, you know, free agents are pretty expensive. And I think, you know, he's earned it. He deserves it. Like, he really does, man.
Yeah, homegrown guy too, man.
Yeah, great culture setter as well, you know. He's going to have a great case next summer when he's the best free agent on the market.
Man, he's really going to go to Atlanta for $25 million a year?
Nah, Minnesota, man. Watch out for Minnesota. They're going to replace Tyus Jones with an even better RPM Tyus Jones. And then the last question I have before we go to Twitter questions. Who is the weak link on the roster right now?
Norm.
Okay. Okay, make your case for Norm. Because if it's Norm, for me, if it's Norm, your roster ain't that weak, man.
No, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
But we're talking about guys that are playing, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're not saying, like, Stanley Johnson. Because he's just not playing.
There's a case that, like, you know, Mark could be the weak link, for example.
Yeah, see, I'm not worried about Mark, though.
Okay.
Mark.
I'm not worried about Mark either, but.
Mark will be fine. Like, Mark will be fine.
There's a case.
Yeah.
There's a case. Man looking hella old, and he's not really scoring. Because there was like, oh, yeah, Kawhi's left, so, you know, you're going to go back to scoring, right? And Mark's like, bet, I'm going to take 2 shots a game.
It'll come, man. He's not going to, like, average 20 points a game. He'll randomly have a 20-point game every, like, 6 games.
I would kill for that. I don't think he has 20 points on the season so far.
Yeah, that's tough.
No, I'm kidding. Well, I think he's finally got to 22.
Well, he was shooting 15% from the field heading into yesterday. So
it's hard to do as a center to shoot 15%. At some point, you got to have a layup.
Yeah. Norm, you know, honestly, I'm not trying to pick on Norm. And, like, there's nothing, like, terrible that jumps out at me. But I think out of the main rotation guys, like, whenever – it just seems like you talk about how the guys are really locked in when they come in. Like, Fred knows what he's doing.
Yep.
OG knows what he's doing.
Yep.
You know. Fred just seems like the most erratic player out of those to me, right? Like, you don't know what you're getting on a night-to-night basis.
You mean, Norm. Norm is
Norm. Like, you don't know what you're getting on a night-to-night. Well, you know a lot of things that you're going to get.
Yeah,
a lot of them aren't good.
You're getting contested drives in the traffic.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he seems to insist on making life harder for himself. It's like when you're like getting an Uber and they decide to use the Uber app like map instead of like Waze or at least Google Maps. Yeah. Like, at minimum, please use Google Maps so that you can have some real-time data. But no, they're just like, no, I'm just going to use the Uber map.
Just turn into this one way.
Right, and it's going to be like, it's going to take you like 20 extra minutes as opposed to if you just turn on Waze. And I'm just thinking like, Norm, can you turn on Waze? Like, can you please just like make simpler decisions? Like, I can't believe, like, there's no way. You cannot tell me that Norm is less talented than OG on offense. But OG makes simple decisions. He makes the right decisions. He makes them quickly, and he succeeds. And he's more efficient than Norm, who makes more difficult decisions, goes into more traffic, and makes life difficult for himself.
Yeah, no, it was just two seasons ago that Norm was slotted to take lockdown a starting role, right? He got that four-year.
Oh, bro, it's every year, man.
He got that four-year, $40 million extension, whatever it was. It was like, all right, man, like Norm's done it in spurts in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like he's ready to make this jump.
Yeah.
And now he's in year five, and, you know, he just feels like one of those players that maybe this is just who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens. You know, not every guy blossoms and reaches their ceiling. But, yeah, if I were to pick a guy, I would just go with Norm just because it kind of stands out versus kind of the consistency that a lot of the other guys bring.
Yeah, and Norm was not shy about it in preseason too. You know, he talked about it in training camp. You know, I sat down with him for a one-on-one. but, you know, he told me, he was like, yeah, listen, I have my sights set on the starting lineup. Like, that's exactly what my expectation is. I've worked hard this summer. I've worked generally on my game to sort of expand. Previous years, you know, he worked on very specific things, so he was sort of more tilted because he was expected to sort of play a specific role. And I think he really thought this year he would come in and sort of get that second that two-guard spot, and he would run with it, and he would be part of the starting lineup. And I really do think he'll perform a lot better with the starting lineup. Obviously, if you play with better players, you know, your chances are better than if you're running pick-and-rolls with, like, you know, Pat McCaw off the bench. It's just not the same. But at the same time, like, I think Norm has to – I mean, I think Norm has the ability to be better, but we always say this about Norm. You know what I mean? And at some point, you just got to do it. That's it.
Yeah. So, it's like we did this with JV too, man.
That's true.
Like year after year, we're like, oh, JV will get better at this and that.
Yeah.
And, like, it wasn't like JV was a terrible player, but at some point, you just realize the limitations of what they were, and that was it.
And it was interesting to see Norm go up against his good friend Terrence Ross yesterday. Whereas, like, Terrence, I swear to God, I had the same, you know, thing with Terrence when he was a Raptor. And it was sort of like, he has all this ability. He can do this, this, and this. And why does he need to do it consistently? And then you see him now in Orlando. He's just found his role. He's a sixth man. He comes in and does the same thing. He's basically Gerald Green with five fingers right now. Like, no, it's true. Gerald Green has 4.5 fingers. And I can't believe he's so good at basketball with just 4.5 fingers. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, Terrence Ross comes into the game, he jacks threes, he comes off screens, he sort of flops his way into little free throws, whatever, and it works once per game, and he gets three free throws out of it. But, like, he comes in and he guns, and that's his role, and he does it every night. Doesn't necessarily succeed, but he does it every single night. Norm, I don't really know. Like, you know what
Norm
I mean?
Norm does come in and gun, though.
When you put in Norm, what are you expecting Norm to do?
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, he needs to.
Because there's no way Nick Nurse is like, yo, I'm going to put in Norm, and I'm going to see what he can do driving into traffic with two guys on him. You know what I mean?
He needs, I think, yeah, whatever that role is, he needs to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, like, you know, he told you about how he wanted to lock down the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
It must be tough, like, three days into the season, and Nick's just like, no.
Yeah,
I think Fred's got a lockdown. Like, that's it for the rest of the season.
It's over. You didn't even
maybe,
say it, like,
honestly, maybe he wanted to help Norm, though, just to be like, okay, Norm, like, you're going to be coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, this is your defined role. Like, figure it out. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. For me, I still think it might be Mark, only in the sense that, you know, if he doesn't provide the scoring, it isn't, I think, a bit of an issue. Because I actually don't think realistically you can expect Kyle to score 22 points per game. Like, that number probably comes down to, like, 17.
Yeah, well, right now when you look at the scoring, the kind of quote-unquote big three is Pascal, Fred, and Kyle, right?
Yeah.
And
those guys all right now are giving you incredible scoring. Like, the two, Fred's giving you 18, Kyle's giving you 22, Pascal's giving you 27.5. So right there, that's 67.5 points per game from those three.
Yeah.
But realistically, are you expecting those three guys to give you 67 points per game? No. And what you need, and you can't really expect OG to give you more than 12 because OG's really just not that good offensively, right? Or not that diverse offensively right now. So you need Mark to be filling in and making up that gap. Mark needs to be at around 11 to 12 points. And I'm not really sure he can get to 11 to 12 points because it just seems to me like he has such a big struggle scoring now.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Let's check back in like 2 weeks or a month.
That's fair. That's
Let's check back in. And the way I always look at Mark's production, I always look at it in conjunction with Serge, though. Like, I'm always like, you talk about like needing more scoring, right? Like, I'm always like, okay, like, what's Mark and Serge combined gonna give you, right?
Yeah. So, and last year it was about like 20 to 25 points per game.
Yeah.
Right now they're giving you, because of Mark, yeah, they're giving you less than 20 per game.
Yeah,
because
they're both,
so, you know,
they're both like inconsistent, obviously, with the scoring.
Yeah.
But if, you know, it balances out and they can just cobble together whatever 25 points a game.
Yeah.
I don't really care if it's coming from Mark or Serge, as long as they're getting right. that production from that position.
Yeah.
But yeah. we'll see.
All right. So we're going to transition and take your Twitter questions. As always, you can hit me up at William_Lou and send me some questions. Chances are, though, there's so many questions being sent in nowadays, we're probably not going to get to all of them. But we'll try to get to as many as possible before we got to go shoot run it back and say all the same things over again in a more condensed version. With a surprise guest.
Yo, it's jokes when we give different takes.
Well, like, actually, I give Pascal a C-.
Yeah.
So the first question comes from Assad. When are you going to get Assad back on the podcast? Very soon. I'm assuming whenever there's a team to slander, I'm going to have to dial in Assad.
Yeah, slander pods are always entertaining.
Yeah.
Do the Milwaukee Bucks if they beat the Bucks this weekend.
Yeah, that's the issue. I'm going to be at a bachelor party this weekend, so I might be real fucking hammered.
Yeah. You have a
for,
life
for Saturday. But I'm, do a
react pod on YouTube after the wedding.
I might
after the bachelor
still
party.
Bring my equipment just to see like where I'm at. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm a real fiend. I'm a real fiend about this stuff.
You've
I
done
might
react,
still do
you've
one.
Done podcasts in like the strangest places and the strangest like scenarios. So.
It's I haven't always been in the perfectly.
This
sound
is low level.
Frame.
This is low level stuff for you.
But yeah, really happy for my guys. You know, it's real wedding season right now. For some reason, it's a little delayed, but
yeah. I went to a wedding.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah, you wore a collar and everything.
Miss Matt Thomas's debut. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on Running Back.
Yeah.
Watch it on YouTube, please. There's original content on it, I swear. Yeah. All right, so next question comes from Marcelo. OG's running the floor with better coordination this year. Do you see him getting better handle and becoming a better playmaker in the next couple of seasons?
Yeah, maybe, I guess. Who was the one that was helping the guys? Was it Phil Handy who was doing a lot of that?
Yeah, he was.
With the player development stuff.
He was, yeah.
So whoever Phil Handy's replacement is, help OG out.
You might know this because you and Serge are tight.
We used to be, and then he went to Bleacher Report.
Wow. That's, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I've had
a lot of divorces in my life, yeah.
Jeez. Yo, save it for running back.
I love how we're not giving the A-list material.
Here's the thing. So, obviously, Phil Handy's moved on to the Lakers.
Yeah.
But Phil has that guy, that Spanish dude, that comes in and works out with him.
Yes. I don't recall the name off the top of my head.
Yeah, right, me neither. I don't want to give him, like, I don't want to just pretend like I know that. It's Pablo or something like that.
No,
but it may be Pablo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be Juan.
Okay. Might be him. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, OG's.
I'm just making Spanish names at this point. But, that guy, he has really helped Serge sort of with his coordination. Because remember how uncoordinated it felt like Serge was?
Oh,
in
yeah. Serge has like improved by like
more
leaps
fluid
and bounds.
Yeah. Man. And I think a lot of it was the workouts with the Spanish dude, which, again, I wish I knew this guy's name.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Serge passes on the number. I mean, it seems like Serge and OG are pretty close.
Yeah.
Guys,
and listen,
know?
Man, the Raptors have a great track record of this stuff.
Yeah.
Player development.
They're listening to Yvonne Chaka Chaka in the car together. Like, yo, good times, man. Next one from Masai Ujiri BR. All right. If the Raptors rotation after a few more weeks stays with this current 8 to 9 players, what do we do with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Stanley Johnson? Are they only injury insurance? This is not great insurance, by the way.
No.
This is like when you get hired at Shoppers and you get insured for like 20% of your glasses. That's not great insurance.
Well, there's a reason why they're not playing right now.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
you know, it's a... Here's the thing. I feel like on another team, they can definitely play. But on a team where, like, for example, I guess the way to look at it is Detroit was not a good team for a very long time. Stanley Johnson could not hold down consistent minutes with Detroit. He got moved to the bench. He sort of is in the starting lineup. Never really fully impressed. So why would the sudden expectation be that just coming to the Raptors, within the first couple of months, he's going to suddenly break the rotation of a team that's going to win 50 games?
Yeah.
That just makes sense, right?
And it's hard because those two guys are still pretty young. Like, are those guys willing to accept being, like, the scrappy ninth guy that just comes on, you know, doesn't get the ball, just has to make hustle plays? Like, are you cool with that? Like, I don't know if they're at that stage of their career where they're cool with that. Because they have to be on this team.
Maybe they got to be humbled first, you know?
Well, Stanley Johnson, game-winning three against the Pistons tomorrow.
Revenge. That would be nice. Yeah. Just give me that. That would be nice.
And then Dwayne does a coach's challenge to see if the ball left his hand before the buzzer and loses.
Oh, man. I can't wait for the Dwayne stuff tomorrow, man. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for him to say, like, 95% nice things and then sneak in a little dig.
Man, a lot of digs, man.
He's very good. He's very, very, very good at sneaking it in, you know? Man. Like, he's just – the passive-aggressive comments are –
It's time for Nick Nurse to drop a diss track, man.
Yeah, I doubt it, man. Dame, you know, it's real funny in this situation because both the Raptors and Dwayne Casey are both trying to take the high road. Mm-hmm. But in order to take the high road, you need to put someone under that road.
I don't necessarily know if Dwayne's taking the high road.
Well, he will say outright that I'm trying to take the high road. I feel great for them. Yeah. You know, they took my offense and won the game with it.
No,
like, that's what he says.
No, but
like,
that's the thing. That's said. Not taking the high road. That is not taking the first part is taking the high road.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man, I love Dwayne as a person. Dwayne did great
dude,
things
great
here,
yeah.
But there were reasons he was fired.
Yeah.
It was because I feel like the whole thing, he's acting like he was fired, like, unjustly.
Yeah, well, he's like, oh, I don't think it was all my fault. I mean, like, you know, look at them. They had to upgrade their roster with Kawhi and Danny Green and Marcus Gasol. It's like, that is true, but also...
He put his teams at a disadvantage.
2015 Wizards.
Yes.
You took seven games and really a miracle to even get past the Pacers.
Yep.
Who were they? The eighth seed that year? The seventh seed?
Yeah, seventh seed. I think it's 2-7. Yep.
They needed seven games to beat the Heat. Heat weren't even that good that year.
No, it was that
They got so many injuries. Chris Bosh was pretty much ending his career. Like,
you know Leonardo DiCaprio when he's like in Wolf of Wall Street, like on drugs, crawling to the car?
Yeah.
Like that was the Raptors Heat series.
It was
like,
ugly.
They were just both trying to crawl to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was tough.
It was real ugly. And then the sweeps and things like that. I mean, you know.
The 2018 sweep was tough.
That was hard to watch.
It's actually okay to talk about it now just because the Raptors have the championship.
Yeah, game three, I had given up on that playoff series. For game three, I decided I'm going to go see Georgia Smith at the Danforth instead of watching this at home.
Yeah.
And then I saw the score.
Surprised it wasn't Jesse Reyes, by the way.
Yeah, Jesse Reyes wasn't that big in 2017. But nowadays, I will 100% go to the Jesse Reyes concert. Shout out Jesse Reyes, Canadian talent. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing.
Really embarrassing.
The game two, the fadeaway jumpers in the fourth. That was disgusting.
And it kind of killed me afterwards. It was just like how much he kept talking about. Well, you know, if one of the tap-ins in game one goes in, the result might have been different. It's like, yeah, you might have lost 5-1.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
honestly, I still...
At no other part in the series that I think, wow, if JV had just made one of those tip-ins and the Raptors won that game, which, by the way, they shouldn't have never even come down to a freaking tip-in because they were up like 12 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They just started choking and didn't make any adjustments.
Yeah.
But regardless... Even if they won that first game, it's not like it would have changed anything else. Yeah. It was not like LeBron's going to be like, oh, wow, I'm down 0-1. I can never come back from this after coming back down from 3-1. Like, anyway,
whatever.
If you want more Dwayne Casey talk, look for the next episode of Run It Back. Next one from Somali. If Kyle can somehow sustain this production through the season and into the playoffs, what is this team's ceiling?
I mean, I guess the whole thing just boils down to can they beat the Sixers or Bucks in a seven-game series.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the kind of calculus of that changes even if Kyle is performing like this. Like, I feel like they would still be an underdog. So
I am real curious to see how OG guards Giannis this weekend. And I will be seeing that game drunk out of my mind. But I'm curious. Can he do it? And if he can maybe do it, then I don't know, maybe against the Bucks. The Bucks this year don't look as sharp as they did last year. Obviously, it's early, but whatever.
Listen, Bucks and Sixers are not these like all-world teams.
That's the thing. It's really just the rest of the conference is trash.
This is not some like all-historic rosters that have been put together.
Yep, agreed.
Like, the Bucks can be beat. Like, Giannis is incredible, all right? Like, it took the best player in the world and Marcus Gasol and a bunch of great defenders to lock him down last year. To get the sweep after being down 0-2. But I don't know. The rest of that roster? I don't know, man. Like, would you rather have Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe or the Raptors number 2 and 3 guys?
the Raptors number two and three guys. It's not really that close, to be honest.
Yeah. So, I mean, Giannis swings the whole thing, but... And the Sixers. I don't know. Like, if that playoff series were to start today, Toronto, Philly,
you could probably talk me
into a seven-game series.
I honestly... I would hate that matchup because I feel like neither team will crack 100 points.
Yeah. This will be like some New York Knicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Miami. Indiana, yeah, you weren't even born back then, so yeah, don't pretend.
I'm just going to pretend, yeah. Sorry. Mark asks, is it too early to consider Jeremy Lin again?
Is this Mark Gasol?
This is Mark Ibra. He's a Twitter egg. You don't really see a lot of Twitter eggs nowadays.
Yeah, shout out to the eggs, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's still an egg. I think you got to actively make...
Oh, you have to make...
You have to make that your make avatar the, to be an egg nowadays. Because yeah. I don't think that's the default anymore. Oh, or maybe, I don't know.
Shoutouts to purposeful eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Jeremy Lin? Is it time to consider Jeremy Lin?
Yeah, yeah. It's time to consider Jeremy Lin again. No. Every time Fred shoots under 40% from the field, the Jeremy Lin questions come out.
I have debated starting some Jeremy Lin propaganda on Twitter, but...
Wow.
No. The Jeremy Lin ship has sailed. We miss him, though.
Oh, yeah, I miss him a lot,
man. We miss him, man.
Yeah. Can't wait to give him his ring.
Yeah.
With Lowry and Van Vliet playing so many minutes, do you expect the Raptors to get a third point guard, or do they trust that, like, Tyler Ennis will be the player they sign when healthy? What do you think of Tyler Ennis as a Yahoo Sports correspondent?
Oh, I really enjoyed my time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. With Tyler.
He told you to calm down when you were stressed as fuck about the Bucks series or whatever?
Yeah. No, so I first met him, like, I think at the start of the Sixers series.
Yeah.
So we did a bunch of these, like, studio shows here.
Yeah. Yep.
So we would come in and watch the whole games. And, you know, the first time I met him, like, I was just me, right? Like, just chill, making jokes and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then game four comes. The Raptors are down 2-1. And I'm like, oh, shit. They're really going to get bounced in the second round again. Damn. And Kawhi's going to leave. And, like, that's it. Like, that's it. Like, the future is a black hole.
I need this freelance
money. Yeah, I need this freelance money for the next 2 months. like, I can't be pitching these random ideas to the National Post every week. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I was stressed out. I didn't say a single word in the second half. Like, I was just like, I literally just sat there. And I'm pretty sure I had, like, the sweats. Like, I was sweating.
Oh, I don't blame you, man. I was, like, I was pretty much clinging to the table. There were nail marks in, like, Philadelphia's media table.
Dan Tolman's like, yo, can you tweet? Because, like, I didn't tweet for, like, 50 minutes.
He's like, Alex, like, breathe.
Like, I just disappeared. Like, Tyler Ennis just looked at me. I was like, yo, you all right, bro? And then Kawhi hit that shot. They won. And I was back to being me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was tough.
So Tyler Ennis, as a basketball player, I mean the Raptors wanted to draft him back in the day, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, right? Like, finding a third point guard. Like, they have Cameron Payne in training camp. What? Like, if they could have brought in someone better than Cameron Payne, they would have.
Do you miss Lorenzo Brown?
No. He did have that one TNT game against the Cavs, though.
Lorenzo Brown is what Pat McCaw is now, so yeah. we're all right. Pat McCaw's a better Lorenzo Brown.
I don't know who the third, like, I don't know. Maybe eventually Terrence Davis can work into that role. Yeah. I think McCaw, honestly,
I think okay
for all the grief that we give McCaw, like, if you want to make McCaw, like, that third guard, I think McCaw is fine for, like, 15
he's
minutes
fine.
A game.
Yeah, as a 10th man, he's fine. Fine.
He's fine.
Randy asks, not a question, but I wanted to hear your best Giannis recruitment pitch.
Well,
okay, so the year is 2021.
Okay, so you be Masai, I'll be Bobby.
All right. So,
which means I will say nothing.
I walk into the room with a aluminum foil.
Yeah. Already too
tin.
Much. Already.
Giannis
you might have
asks,
lost him. You
hey,
lost
what's that? And I'm Masai. I unfold it. It's jollof rice. All right. Giannis is already smelling the smells of home. He's remembering that, you know, he's never had this ever in Milwaukee before.
Yeah.
And Masai sits down. And then the next guy to come in is Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
The next guy to come in is OG Anunoby.
So
Kyle Lowry comes in,
big
maybe.
Big question. Because Drake talked a lot of trash to Giannis.
Yeah.
In the playoffs last year, to the point where Mike Budenholzer wanted Drake arrested.
Yeah. Yo, Mike Budenholzer was like, I'm not going to make any adjustments,
think,
but
please
arrest Drake.
Do you think they should
Drake.
Involve Drake in this pitch? Or do you think there's still some hurt feelings? Or do you think it's all fun and games at the end of the day?
I think it's all fun and games. I don't really see Giannis as a guy that's that starstruck by Drake. There's certain guys that are real starstruck by Drake, but I don't really think Giannis is one of those guys. But anyway, so you got those guys in the room.
Yep.
And then you tell them, listen, we've beaten you many times in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We've eliminated you from the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you want to continue losing in Milwaukee, or do you want to come to a city like Toronto where you can be celebrated as a sort of an international superstar? Yeah.
And he knows all these things already.
Yeah.
Every time he comes through, he is celebrated.
And then Masai sells him on the global vision of the game is not just the game. The game's bigger than the game. Yeah.
And you are Nigerian, Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. He's already said it many times that Giannis is Nigerian, which, you know, some people in the Greek community have sort of taken offense at. It's like saying if someone said, like, yo, Will's Chinese. I'm like, yeah, I know. I hold Canadian citizenship. I love Canada, but I'm both.
Yep.
And I think, you know, Giannis has mentioned both.
Forget the off-court stuff, though, man. You can pitch him the basketball
And the
stuff.
Basketball stuff is pretty good. You get to play with Pascal. You get to play with probably Fred.
Yeah.
I think probably here.
It's like, you
OG.
Know, look at the Bucks. Great core. When the Bucks had a chance to bring back Malcolm Brogdon, arguably their second best player in the playoffs. Couldn't do it.
Larry Tannenbaum shows up.
Yeah.
When
Fred became a free agent, we threw $100 million at him.
Yeah.
We brought back our Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
And we will bring in anyone you want.
Yeah, there
we
you go.
We got Pascal. We got OG. Like, think about the possibilities.
Yeah.
And a 37-year-old Kyle is better than Eric Bledsoe in the playoffs.
And then he doesn't mention Taysa the Danforth because that place is a little bit of a mess. But, you know, he does mention that there is a wealth of really, really good Greek food in Toronto.
Listen, man, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket with this Giannis thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's super fun to speculate about.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also think the Raptors do have, like, a realistic chance.
Yeah.
Now he might sign the Supermax next summer, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't think he will, but we'll see.
And then to close the pitch,
yeah.
Matt Thomas walks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, still on the team, man.
Yeah. He's on a 3-year deal. He's on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Norman Powell shows up and he's like, if you don't want me to dunk on you again, join the team.
Yeah. That's it, man.
And then we trade Norm.
That's it. Man, if the Raptors get
Giannis. What a pitch.
Man, if the Raptors get Giannis. That would be something, man.
It would be amazing. You know how happy Masai would be?
If you had to choose hypothetical between getting Kawhi back this past summer on, like, say, like a 2-year deal versus having Giannis in 2 years, what would you have taken? You could only have one.
Well, we can talk about this now, but I would rather have Kawhi because he's a straight-up better player.
Yeah.
And, as you mentioned, with the way Kawhi's playing, with the way Danny is playing, with the way OG has taken a step forward.
Pascal.
Kyle back to prime Kyle Lowry numbers.
Kyle would
Pascal taking a leap. Fred taking a leap.
Yep.
Mark and Serge still being what they are.
Yep.
Norm still being a playoff killer.
65
against the
win team. The hypothetical, the imaginary Raptors would have been a 65 win team, and I legit would have predicted them to go like 16-2 in the playoffs. Yeah.
Which, but by the way, this is what people would say after they get broken up with, or like, we were so good together, you know, this and this and this. If you don't marry this next person, then you really screwed up here. But essentially, it's like if you don't win the damn title with the Clippers, then people should really mention the fact that Kawhi walked away from what would have been a guaranteed title. Here.
Guaranteed.
This isn't like LeBron
Injuries
leaving
aside,
Miami at the end of 2014.
Guaranteed.
You know what I mean? There's a guaranteed title.
Every time LeBron walked away, he walked away from a roster that was about to be like...
Yeah, LeBron exhausted the resources
down.
And he left. Yeah.
This was a roster that was on the come up.
Look at the team right now, man. Look at the team.
Man.
And man.
See, I think about so many things with this. Like, I wonder, say if OG doesn't have his injury and really showed a lot of what he's showing now in the playoffs last season. Obviously not in this role, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I guess none of it would have made a difference. Like, would that have... Would Kawhi have looked at this and said...
No, right. I don't think he would have stayed for OG. I don't think you... I
not,
think the Raptors made the best
OG,
possible pitch.
But then at that point, you're like, okay, I got Pascal, I got OG, right? But it doesn't seem like he even looked at Pascal like, oh, this is the number two guy I want
to
run with.
Kawhi
or at the end of the day,
home.
He just wanted to go home.
He just wanted to go home. Whatever it took to
and
go home.
And he told
home,
the Clippers to get Paul George.
Whatever. You know, he went home. That's cool. I'm happy for him. You know what I mean? Like, he made the decision. He's obviously free to do it. I'm just saying, though, it would have been a guaranteed title. Guaranteed. You're telling me we're going back to that Bucks series and there's no Malcolm Brogdon and all of a sudden OG's playing like this?
No, they
and Pascal's playing like this?
They would have swept through everyone.
Would have worked them.
And
the
then
Sixers.
And then potentially beat LeBron in the finals, which would have just like exercised every demon for this franchise.
Yeah.
It would have been a celebration. Yeah, it's tough.
But they got that one ring, so.
Yeah, they got that one ring.
It is what
but
it is.
I'll be thinking about that for a long time.
We'll take three more arbitrarily. Music Scene Vermin Supreme asks, who would you rather have right now, Makar or DeLon?
DeLon.
Yeah, same.
DeLon's like putting up triple doubles in Dallas, man.
Yeah, well, I like Dallas. It's a good year.
But you know, had to get Marc Gasol and get the championship.
Yeah, it was worth it. And if Memphis actually liked DeLon that much, they would have re-signed him. So, Well, a lot of these questions we have answered. Okay, this one from Lumsden. Do the Raptors add anyone who they think can be the closer? Do they need someone who can create their own shot late in games to push this team over the top? Yeah, that guy's Kawhi. But, I mean,
yeah, no, like, honestly, you look at this Raptors team and you're like, oh, they're just missing one guy.
They're one star away from being a champion.
Star away.
Because they are
because they were champions and the one star left, yeah.
Oh, God.
Pascal's fine as a, I mean, there'll be some growing pains, but we'll figure it out.
All right. The last one here from Zach. If things go even better than expected, do you see a way for the Raptors to become buyers at the trade deadline?
It's tough because any trade you would have to put probably OG up, right? To get anything. Like, what are you going to get?
Maybe you get a Norm upgrade. But then again, playoff sure. Norm is kind of a thing.
Like, so. I don't think there's no game-changing move out there. Maybe some moves to add some depth, like add one more guy.
Yeah, but, like a depth piece. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when the Bucks added Nikola Mirotic without really shedding anybody from the roster. Yeah,
something
last
like that.
Yeah.
Add one more shooter or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Stanley Johnson plus a second for like somebody.
Yeah, but it's a transition year.
Yeah, it is a transition year. What you want to see out of this year is how the young guys develop. And so far, the Raptors young guys have taken great steps.
Yeah,
so.
Just see how far they can go. Don't give up anything. That'll ruin the future.
Yeah, there you go. Spoken like a true Bobby Webster.
Wow. Crazy Rich Asian.
Yo, for real. Crazy Rich Asians too. He's going to be in it. It's gonna be a.
He's going to play himself.
He's going to be Awkwafina's love interest, Bobby Webster.
But he's going to play himself.
Yeah.
He just flies in with the Larry OB.
He's like, yeah, I'm a general manager of the Toronto Raptors and... incredibly good looking and very young and very successful.
Bobby Webster propaganda.
What do you think about this?
Constance Wu, what do you think about this?
Are we playing Mahjong together or what? You know what I mean?
Bobby Webster should have been in Hustlers. Yeah.
Hustlers was all right. It was all right.
Nice Usher cameo.
Yeah, that was a good scene. The way the movie ended. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Alex, we got to go shoot Run It Back.
Yeah, we got to rerun this conversation back on camera.
Literally. So thanks everyone for listening. And I'll be back next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.